From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers.
Welcome to Android Dialogues, where we have bite-sized conversations with people in the Android community. I'm Chuki Chen.
I'm Wenwen Dao, and today we're chatting with
Russell Ivanovich,
Philip Simpson,
and Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
Yep, not confusing at all. It is the week of Google I/O 2018, and in this episode, I talked to four other developers to bring you the highlights. Don unfortunately couldn't make it for this one, but he was there in spirit. If you want to catch the video of this episode, then look for an upcoming episode of Android Dialogues.
Many thanks to Microsoft for sponsoring today's episode of Fragmented, and they're here to promote App Center, which is a continuous integration, delivery, and feedback suite of cloud services for Android applications. With App Center, you can automate your Android app development lifecycle, such as build, test, distribute, monitor, and push to ship five-star, higher-quality apps faster and with more confidence than ever. Building a development pipeline for your Android apps has always been a challenge, but with App Center, you can get started in minutes. Simply connect your GitHub and Bitbucket repos and build in the cloud, test on thousands of real Android devices, distribute to beta testers and Google Play, and monitor real-world usage with crash and analytics data. As a fully modular suite of services, you can pick and choose the service you need and connect it to the tools that you already use. Sign up now at appcenter.ms and spend less time managing your app lifecycle and more time coding.
All right, folks, I am very excited to be here. I will let listeners know that I feel very fortunate now because I am with four absolute titans, powerhouses of the Android.
Is there
someone
else
in the room? I don't know. It's probably one of
those
VR experiences.
There's someone at the table. Yes.
The Android developer world knows these folks really well. And thank you all for coming in. But we should go around the table and quickly introduce ourselves so we know who these titans of Android development are. Let's start with Chuki.
Hi, I'm Chuki Chen. I'm an Android developer, and I also, okay, plug, right? I have a YouTube channel called Android Dialogues. Y'all should subscribe. And I also do sketch noting and other things as well.
Awesome. You also have another person, I believe, with your channel, and that person's also here. So,
Hi, I'm Huynh Dao. I am an Android developer for Trello, and I also produce a channel called Android Dialogues, where we talk to people in the Android community. Hello.
Listeners, if you're not already subscribed to their YouTube channel, Android Dialogues, you absolutely should, because it is high-quality content, and Chuki and Huynh are amazing. So.
Oh, also, I have to do the YouTube thing where you, if you can subscribe, but also you can hit the bell in the notification section or in the top of YouTube so you can actually get notifications. That's kind of a thing now. There's always like that tagline when YouTubers say, oh, like, share, subscribe, and make sure you hit the bell.
On the top left.
The top left, because now you don't get notifications when you subscribe. You only get notifications when you hit the bell. So hit the bell.
The bell,
the bell. The bell. All you have to remember is the bell.
The bell.
The YouTube bell.
Yes, okay. Please.
And if you're listening potentially on your Android phone, on a podcast player, then you'll be interested to meet these two people. This person is just a pretty face. I saw him on the road, so I asked him to come in. So can you please introduce yourself?
I assume you're talking about me. Yeah. I went there. I'm Russell Ivanovich, for those of you that haven't met me. So I'm the token Australian, the only one here with the fancy Australian accent. The cat, for those of you that are watching a video. And I work with Phil on Pocket Casts. So that's the thing we do. So if you're listening on Pocket Casts, that's pretty cool. We're having the whole Inception thing going on.
Nice.
I always like that.
Don't forget the bell.
By the way, if you sped up my voice, I don't approve of that.
Yeah.
1X or nothing.
Yeah, podcasters hate that. Even though they built the feature.
I will disable it if I find out.
Yeah, but we also have the other person in Pocket Casts, probably the person who does all the work.
Yeah. Can't deny that.
I'm a very public person. I think the last podcast I did was your podcast.
Yes. We have an exclusive contract with Phil.
Yeah, I do the Android side of things, some of the server side, the web development.
All of it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Yeah. There is nothing.
Anything that's not public, I tend to do.
Wow.
But we are very honored to have you here, and you guys had some very recent, interesting, exciting news. So
yes, we did find the ice cream at Google I/O.
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about. Well, they are part of NPR now, and like they're very excited.
Oh, we have to stop you there. It's a conglomeration of NPR, WNYC, WBEZ, and This American Life. So it's not just NPR. We have four cool new partners that we're working with.
All of them are amazing. So
yeah, yeah. They all produce really amazing content. Obviously, you all do as well, but so do they.
Yeah, but not quite the same reach. We're a little bit...
getting there. Reach.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah. Next year. Oh, 20. Yeah, that's true.
Well, maybe for you.
No.
For us. Well, I'm super excited that you guys are here. But what I wanted to chat with you folks about is about Google I.O. because we are all here for Google I.O. 2018. This time, Don and I decided to take it a little chill and actually attend a lot of the sessions. But we thought, hey, our listeners would definitely like to know what's happening in I.O. 2018. So let's just start there. What are some of the things that you folks think was the most interesting, like just at a high level, like from I.O.?
Well, if it's not Android only.
Well, we could do both.
Yeah, the just general part that I got out of the keynote was that I don't need to talk to human anymore. I just have my assistant call them on the phone and have a conversation without me and then put something on my calendar for me. I mean, that sounds both excellent and scary at the same time.
Absolutely.
Because, like, then who are we anymore? It's like the machine will just impersonate us.
Yeah.
But that is a part of my life that is still very synchronous, and that's very disruptive, right? Like, I cannot just, like, oh, do this at my own convenience. If I want to get in touch with the business, I have to call it when they are open.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, a doctor's office is really restrictive the hours. Restaurants are slightly better.
Right.
But every time I try to... I don't know why I call my doctor at lunchtime usually, and I get the voicemail. It's like, we take lunch from 1 to 2.
Like, the only time...
I forgot that you take lunch from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
So that part was... just kind of futuristic and useful for me. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. What are you?
I think for me, it's all the developer stuff. So the developer tools kind of get me excited. So the Jetpack is the main thing now. So just they've kind of like expanded some of the components. So going from Room, now they've got the navigation stuff, which is really interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure how much of this I can actually put back in the Pocket Cast because it's kind of a legacy code that we've been building on for years. But
right.
I'm going to try and do small parts maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Convert them over, do the kind of the view model,
yeah.
All these different areas. But it's just good that they seem like they're really listening to developers and kind of adding some of the stuff that we've been asking for. Because everyone seems to have the same pain point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all need to put data in a database. We all need to do all
right.
These different tasks. So them adding these features is really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these features are things that we've been asking about. And like some of it is just like the basic stuff, just like accelerate Android development, right? So
yeah,
I think that makes sense. What about you, Russell?
Yeah, I guess I come at this from a slightly different angle because Phil does the majority of the Android work and I kind of dip in from time to time. He looks at the hammock that I sleep in the office and he's like, Russell, 5 hours is probably enough. I need to. So I kind of dive in and I found the problem with Android and I guess the thing about it, it's open, right? There's so many different ways to do things. And I found the Android team, like I've met Chad, I've met, you know, Romain Gouy, like all those guys and girls, obviously. And it's like, always like they're really scared to recommend a way of doing things. And so
right.
As an external developer who comes from the iOS world where everything is like, we recommend you do it this way. You
right.
can go do it a different way if you want, but this is our recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the Google world and it's like, we have no recommendations. You
right.
knock yourself out. And then you go to the community, right? You talk to people in the community, like, what do you recommend? And one person says, use Fragments. Another person says, don't
right.
touch Fragments, you know, with a 20-foot pole. And I like the fact that this I.O., it seems like there was more opinions from
yeah.
the actual frameworks team.
In fact, they officially said that too, right?
Like exactly.
Finally
yeah.
coming out saying this is like, we wanted to bring an opinionated framework. Right?
Yeah, and I really like that because it means a lot of the APIs are cleaner as well. When you
absolutely.
Have an opinion, you can leave out a whole bunch of things,
right?
And right. things get easier.
And I mean, we've seen this in the past, right? Like obviously iOS land, like they do have an opinion, but even like Rails for like
yeah,
developers,
absolutely.
Very opinionated. And many say like that's why it was so successful because
yeah.
they're just this one way that can get you going pretty fast, right?
It definitely help with teams as well. So if you've got multiple developers, if you're all doing it the same way, it's kind of much easier to switch. And
right.
Whereas in the past, it's like, well, one person uses this framework, someone uses something else.
MVC, sort of, MVP, NDR.
It's all a bit of a mess, and now it seems a bit cleaner, which is good.
Yeah, that's good. What about you?
Russell stole mine. I mean,
oh,
I totally agree that, you know, it's always, and I think maybe this is me being like an Android fogey, but I think part of, I kind of took pride in like, yeah, well, you can do whatever you want. It's not like there's any kind of, it's not like
mm-hmm.
you're demanded to do things a certain way. But at the same time, yeah, beginning Android developers might want a starting off point, a platform, just an idea of what good architecture could look like. And if you decide that, hey, screw this, I want to do my own thing or do one or the other MV, like, asterisk, you can. But I'll say something unique, and I actually was really looking forward to material theming. You know, like, I think material's been... Yeah, so it's been, like, 4 years of material? And I think they noticed before, but, like, you know, material is great. It's a really good, clean guideline. But, yeah, apps can kind of look the same a little bit.
They call that out, right? That,
yeah,
it's so
totally.
Good that they did, because until then, they were like, oh, no, but it's about the paper. It's about the platform.
But now you can have material guidelines and brand identity. And I think that's always was a challenge, too. Is like, how do you infuse brand identity when things, like, when they're so specific, you know, and they're guidelines, you know, they're just guidelines.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to kind of bend and choose, but now kind of it's easier to bend and be flexible with it. Before, you're like, how can I, like, make it me, but still make it material? But now, like, I think I'm really excited, and having tooling for that as well, and having, hey, we've got a plugin for this, and hey, we've got, like, you know, different, like, tools that help you kind of, you know, evaluate things. I think that's pretty valuable. So
yeah, they did announce, like, some of the Sketch plugins as well, right?
Sketch
plugins.
Yeah,
that thing looked amazing.
I mean, it was I was amazed that, like, they were using that internally at Google. I'm like, oh, we kind of should have released this faster.
So for those of you that haven't seen it, there was a session, I think, by Nick Butcher, where he actually walks through the whole Sketch plugin. Yeah, it looked
Oh wow,
really cool.
I missed that session, but, like, hopefully it's recorded.
Yeah,
so
it's recorded,
sure,
so you can go ahead and watch it.
There's two sides to it, isn't there? There's a gallery app, which is like, you can kind of look at the designs and you can comment on them and you can see versions.
Yeah, it's almost like the Wake thing that, I mean, like, this is, Wake is, like, another, like, design tool that they use where, like, you know, you can, like, comment on things. So, yeah, you're right. Like, that's one aspect of it.
And the other side is the styling, right? You can do change the colors and the fonts. And,
it sets the theme, all across. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, the other interesting thing about that is we actually worked with them before Google I/O. So I think somewhere on the material.io website.
I saw the podcast.
I just threw that out there. But no, not because I'm trying to humble brag. What I'm trying to say is we sat down for a week-long material design sprint with the material design developers and the designers, I should say, and the design relations team. And it was really interesting to see that they had heard all the feedback, right?
Yeah.
They're like, we know, like, apps are starting to look the same. Because if you think about their initial hurdle, it's like everything looked, let's be honest, garbage, like very terrible. And they're like, here's a design system. And suddenly apps started to look really good. They had really nice animations. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they achieved that part of their goal.
Right.
But then once everyone had adopted it, they're like, oh, actually, like, Gmail looks like this app. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you kind of lose a lot, like you were saying.
Yeah. You can see a theme. And actually, I mean, for the longest part, I think Pocket Cast did that really well. Like, not to just, like, but I mean, not all of us are podcasts, right? And, like, if you do, like, quite honestly, like, if you want to use the standard components the way Google recommends it, it kind of looks pretty similar to, like, most other apps, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have components. I think that was one thing when Material launched. We're like, that looks so amazing.
Yeah.
How do I do it? But now I think they're trying to get ahead of that and understanding.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
Yeah,
developers, if you want to use the exact components.
But then again, and the theming and everything. Just kind of like, here's this cool thing, and here's how you do it. And I think that's also kind of, like, been some, like, developer feedback or complaining.
And they use those same components internally as well.
Yeah,
so if you talk to the teams that build them, they're like, yeah, we roll this out to all the Google apps and we support them and developers.
So we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, and you don't have 12 versions of, like, the same button, which is always really annoying.
Yeah, I know.
The number of GitHub projects.
Material Fab, no. Yeah. Actual Material Fab. Fab that does this on the left-hand side. So a whole bunch of those things.
These are open source as well. So developers can add new, like, if they're missing components, which they often are, it takes them a while to add them. This is on GitHub, so you can go through and, like, put in a request and try and write one of the components. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
So that'd be good to see if it.
It's nice to see that they're actually building, like, the platform.
I'm totally good enough of a developer to file pull requests.
I hope someone else does it. I could try, but
Russell, do not rebase all our master. That's
not
how you
do it. Sorry, guys.
So I did have a couple of topics specific to, like, Android development that I wanted to touch that I thought was, like, interesting, especially for, like, Android developers, and a lot of our listeners are Android developers. The first one, obviously, Phil mentioned this, was the Jetpack thing, right? I wanted to get an overall sense. The skeptical side of me wanted to bring this out, right? I was like, well, in many cases, the support library was sort of, like, trending in that direction, right? Where we were like, hey, I mean, use this, but, like, you know, it's, like, platform independent. So how much of this do you think is, I understand it was important for it to be, like, a rebranding, saying, hey, this is Jetpack, use this now, versus support library started off, like, you know, and, like, they even, like, mentioned this during, like, I think the developer keynote, right, where, like, V4, support V4, and, like, those four, like, there's absolutely no meaning to that version.
Mm.
How much of it do you think was, like, okay, let's just start with a clean slate and, like, make it official, versus there actually being something in Jetpack that you think was interesting?
Well, the way I understand Jetpack is kind of like, remember the IO where everything is Firebase suddenly.
Yeah, yes. That is true.
That's how I see Jetpack. I feel like it's the new umbrella where support library is under and the architecture component is under. Right. And then they launched Foo and Bar,
right,
which is the nav controller and the work manager.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, work manager. That is job X version 3, I guess.
Right. The job scheduler and previous incarnations of it. Yes. So I don't really see Jetpack as something, you must adopt to it, rather than it was just an umbrella of offerings.
Interesting.
Like support library is already there, except they're renaming the package names.
Yes.
And then they have tools to help you rename them. Like that's, to me, to the extent that Jetpack makes it different.
Right.
And
That is true. Like the tools now make it very easy. Like at least from what we saw in like the Android Studio session, right? Like you can just like migrate straight away to like Jetpack. At least that's, I think, the idea.
Right. So. I disclaimer, I have not actually gone read, like, you know, the guide. Because actually now they're very good at writing guides on top of just documentation. You know what I mean? That's like the API documentation, but they have guide or giving you a context of what it is. So I haven't read that yet, but my understanding of Jetpack is like Firebase, like, where it's just multiple things that is unified under the same umbrella.
Right.
So it's not like, now I have to migrate to Jetpack. It's like a menu for you to choose from at a restaurant. That's how I see it.
It seems like they're trying to make more of a complete package. So things that they're missing that they're trying to add, like the navigation was kind of a difficult kind of sticking point. So maybe they're adding that in. But it seems more like this is a complete guide rather than we're going to have bits everywhere. Maybe it seems like a bit of marketing as well. They're trying.
It makes sense. And to be clear, I think that is valuable, right? For example, if you come in as a new developer, many times you just want like this one thing that'll help me get going versus like, actually look at this. And then, but if you want to do this, then you got to look at these three other blog posts, right? So I think there is like value in that too.
Yeah, maybe it feeds into the whole story of having an opinion, like an actual opinion about what architecture you should be using. So that's part of the narrative, right? Like, here's a recommended architecture. Mm-hmm. Here are all the things you might need. And hopefully, like, again, I'm also in the same boat. I have not read the documentation of the guides yet. But if there's good guidance there, I think it's good. It feels overwhelming. I think I looked at the page the first day, and it just was like a laundry list of all the things in Jetpack, which is a little bit like...
Yeah.
As like, you know, kind of seasoned Android developers, that's cool. It's like, you know, it's everything is there. But if you're just starting off, that might be a little bit overwhelming. But if they can get the narrative and get the guides and get the kind of education going and like fusing all that together, I think it'd be good. But yeah, we'll see.
I think you should get a score. Your app should get a rating like A+ if you've done all the Jetpack.
Oh, achievement unlocked! I do this one.
So good. They should totally do that. Like gamify this thing.
You get a badge if you.
I've seen our app would get like a D-.
The Colin Cohens are like that, right? Where you kind of go through each lesson and you can kind of check it off and you do everything online. So maybe we need Android Cohens. Jetpack Cohens?
That is actually a really good idea.
And then you go through and then... But I guess Codelabs are sort of like that, but maybe they're all... Because they're kind of like one shot, right? More or less, but maybe having some kind of integrated like
maybe they should just take all the Codelabs and then like give it like a Cohens.
Status. And then you can kind of feel like the achievement of like, got that one, and then you get a little certificate at the end. I don't know. That's Jetpack awesome. Approved.
Jetpack approved.
You can have that one, Google.
Yeah, if you're listening, it's a good idea. The other thing that I want to talk to you folks about was Android app bundles. It seemed like that was like a big thing, right? At first, I was a little confused because I didn't understand the difference between like necessarily like instant apps, right? It seemed very similar.
Yeah.
But I mean, as I briefly looked and like listened to some of the sessions, I found like there were some things a little different. What do you think? What do you guys think about?
I feel like as an iOS developer, right? I've seen some of this before.
Yeah. I don't want to bring it up, but it's like, you know.
No, I have no problems, by the way, with big companies stealing from each other. I think it's amazing, but for those of you that don't know, on the iOS side of things, I think app thinning is the new marketing name for it. So what they do is basically, let's say you have three different sizes of images, like you got 1x, 2x, 3x, and I know in Android it's x, double x, triple x, whatever.
Right.
You know that a particular device is only going to show one resolution of those images, so you just serve it that particular slice. And the same for localizations, if like let's say they're in Germany, you know, you don't need to serve them the Australian English sort of version or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking it sort of down to that level, and right down to building different versions of the binary so that, you know, if it's potentially a 64-bit, you know, particular kind of ARM processor, I'm not super familiar with this stuff, but you can push it that particular binary and it doesn't need the other one, right? Because it's never going to be an Intel processor.
I guess like the common thing there was like, but then like the code that actually reaches my users is not necessarily what I tested, like my application.
We went through this on the Apple side of things.
I know.
Because they're like, we're going to take your, I think they call it bitcode, and we're going to recompile it. And you're like, really?
Yeah.
I've seen Xcode. Are you sure you want to be?
But I think like the intention behind the feature is very different, right? Because like with instant apps, it was like just give like serve a portion of your app that they like the user would think. So it was actually more user facing.
Yeah.
But with this, it's actually like yes, it is. But there's like the advancement is in the technical front. Where,
and it's
like,
free, right? You just tick a box and you can make an app bundle. Is that right?
Well, there are a couple of.
That's what they told me. Yeah.
You have to upload your signing key, I think, in that.
Yeah, there is.
You got to give your signing key, and I think there is like a specific way that you upload it through like Android Studio.
Yeah.
And I also, what was the other thing? There was, well, I forget. But yeah, there was like some aspect. Oh, yeah, the Play Store.
Yeah. Oh, in fact, we met with some of the Play Store team, so they had a tent, the Play Store tent, and one of them walked us through it. And the way they upload that signing key is crazy from a cryptography point of view. It's like double or triple signed, and then like with a temporary key. And
yeah,
then
because
key.
That is a fear, right?
Yeah.
Because like my signing key, well, someone can just take that and like.
No, they got the Android security team to actually do that particular part of it. So they were kind of hands off. They're like, we're not good enough to handle your private key. So the different team actually came in and did that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Cool. That's nice.
That was the other interesting bit as well. Saying how that it downloads APKs and it's actually downloads them as separate files.
Yeah.
And it'll install one and then install the next one over the top. So it kind of builds up what your actual APK should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a little different from like the whole APK merging thing.
Yeah.
Or, I thought it was interesting. Is Pocketcast like doing like the instant sort of app thing or not yet?
No, I think what's our app about 6 meg to download.
Yeah. Oh,
so we're very close to that limit. We're like, if we just shave some things off, maybe we can just get under
crazy.
It.
That's
anyway.
Crazy.
Is it 4 megabytes you need to be
at? Yeah, for instant app.
Oh, 4?
Well, 4 was last year's number. Maybe they changed it. I don't do instant app.
Yeah, me neither. So
we'll just remove some screens.
You don't need that function.
Well, but I do think that was like pretty cool, so I want to bring that up. Okay, so the next thing is obviously Kotlin. I mean, I did notice one thing, like Kotlin was obviously like, that's the single word that they have to mention like in I/O 2017, and instantly I/O 2017 was a success, right?
Yes!
There were some things that were mentioned in terms of like, you know, the R8 optimizations. There's obviously the KTX thing that's like now official. Art was apparently tuned so that like Kotlin can like Kotlin apps can run faster. Those are some of the things that I picked up. Like, but in terms of like the Kotlin line, was there anything else that you folks thought was interesting that we should bring up?
We went to the KTX one this morning with Jake. That was really good. So he was talking about how they're breaking it down into different kind of frameworks.
Right.
So you've got like a Fragment KTX, you've got a Core one.
Right.
So you just kind of can pull in the ones you actually need. And it seems like it's really good with Kotlin now. You kind of get the IDE extension. The IDE can autocomplete for you.
Right.
So you start writing it, and even though it comes up in like a different color, yellow or whatever your IDE may be, it kind of helps you to kind of feel this.
Yeah, that was a really good talk by Jake. Also, just understanding the kind of point.
Well,
but just kind of seeing like the kind of like, I guess, the motivations behind it and like kind of the guidelines that they set for themselves. Or, so that we don't just make everything a Kotlin extension.
Right.
And kind of like the role that they see that Kotlin is playing. And they he even mentioned the Kotlin evolution and enhancement process. But this big proposal to kind of make the I guess the compatibility with the framework even better with like more annotations so that, you know, that we don't have to do as much through KTX. Pretty interesting. I don't know. It was good. It's cool. Like, it's not like a splash like last year, but just like this whole IO felt kind of like a dot release, you know, like everything's just kind of integrating.
Yeah.
And,
this is the factory.
iterating and just getting a little bit better. But
I do like that annotation side of things though, because there's a whole bunch of people who are not going to rewrite their entire, you know, library or whatever they supply to you, like in Kotlin, just so you can have it in Kotlin. Like, I like that, assuming this proposal gets accepted, like, you know, you're going to be able to have those annotations in Java, and suddenly these methods look a whole lot better in Kotlin. That's kind of cool. And again, it's something, I don't want to keep saying this, but it's something we did on the iOS side as well. Like, people annotated the heck out of all their Objective C libraries. I'll stop now. That's the last time I mentioned that.
I knew it was a problem.
Can we go back a little bit on the Jetpack? Because now that you mentioned iOS, I was thinking when they announced the nav controller, I was like, nav controller? I know that. Like, iOS has that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, immediately, but I don't like storyboards. This really looks like
the nav.
Speaking about storyboards, that's something. Like, I think it was like in the Android Studio talk, maybe, where they demonstrated, what do they call it?
It's they had some other name for them, didn't they?
The flow?
It's
a nav editor, I think.
Navigation editor.
I mean, obviously, as someone who's like dealt a lot with XML, and I was like made peace with like a lot of like existing things, I was like, the Android Studio team was like one of the best teams there. Like, did you have to spend time building this? Like, how many people but then again, like, I understand there are like many people who are just like jumping on, and like that is a huge market for like Google, where they need new people to get onto Android development, and if that helps, it does. But I just think about like the complexities that we have to handle, right? Like, what about the life cycles? Like, just connecting two dots. Like, I imagine they've thought a lot about this, but it just makes me feel it's never going to work. It'll get you 85% there, maybe. But I mean, maybe this is the
skeptical sense. Yeah, that was my problem with Storyboard when I tried it. It got you the 85%, but when you need that 15, you just have to rewrite the whole thing.
You literally
thing.
Just hit a wall when you're like, I can't get
you cannot do anything. Right. So I don't know if you kind of attended any of the sessions on navigation and kind of like, how does that compare to...
They look different. It looks a little bit easier to customize because in Storyboards, I don't want to go into the details too much because who cares, but they have this whole concept of a segue and you pass things into it. And it's there's this weird way of tying the code to the Storyboard that is terrible, honestly. But I feel like Android's done a better job of that.
Okay, there's hope.
And we have human-readable XML and not that.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Not unstable IDs that keep changing.
Does your ID do this thing when you click on the file? It's like, I have changed it for you.
You don't have to breathe on the file or look at it, honey. And it's like, merge conflicts.
You're missing out if you
don't have that. That part I have confidence that will not happen with the navigation editor because the XML is actually
good about, I mean, that's the part that I was interested in because I remember like one common complaint that like my iOS colleagues had was like, if you use like the Storyboard, then like, you can just throw like Git and like all of these things like out of the door, right? Because I don't necessarily know.
Yeah, they're really hard to work with different developers. Mm-hmm. I like what you said though, Kaushik, is that it does make it more accessible for first time. Like even if none of us in this room use it, right? I think that's okay. Like if someone just coming to the platform and they want to build a really simple app and they want to navigate the lines.
My only concern with that is like if that is part of the IDE and I have to use that and that's going to like that's one more element of it making unstable, which is but then that's maybe.
My concern is different because as a newcomer, that's what it was iOS 6, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's
That's how I learned iOS development, through Storyboard, because the official documentation was Storyboard. So I was like, I'll learn it. And then I was building an app that's slightly more complicated and I hit that wall. Just 1 month into it, I hit that wall. And I'm like, and then of course, all my iOS friends are like, you should have talked to me first. Storyboard is not the way to go. So like, that's why when I saw that, I was like, it's this good.
I feel like we went through this. So in iOS land, we got auto layout, right? And it was terrible.
It was so bad.
Layout is the other thing.
So they improved it and they improved it. And then Android came out with constraint layout. And what happened
is
they learned all the lessons, right? They presumably looked on the iOS and then they saw all the mistakes that were made. And constraint layout is a million times better than auto layout. So I'm hoping they've done the same thing here.
Okay. Yeah.
I will say though that like, I mean, I guess getting the kind of specifics of whether we're going to hit that wall or whether, you know, any complexity that as your app gets larger and it does get harder like to kind of scale that ability to kind of keep track of things. So like I was looking at our Android manifest the other day at work and I was like, I have no idea what that is going on here. And you know, like, because you have, you know, different entry points, you have deep link, you have notifications. Deep linking stuff is actually really cool. And I think having a visual representation, I think that even if you say, well, the design editor is still kind of crap, the idea of being able to visualize the flow of your application does make it easier for large teams, maybe makes it your app more maintainable. Provided they get the rest of it right. That's like the big surprise, right? But I do, as someone who used to hate WYSIWYG, I'm starting to see the value when your app gets bigger and also with big teams of visualization of what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
So that is nice. I don't know.
I think there's, like you say, with deep linking, there's other complexities. Like in Android, they've got a back button, but they've also got an up button. So when you deep link in to the app, when they press the up button, it needs to go, not outside of the app, it needs to go back to, which you have to kind of program otherwise. So it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, which Navigate app do you use? Remember, we actually had this conversation, remember? Like, we were talking about something, and then there was, like, some up function that we had no idea existed, and it was like, you should use that one. Do you remember that? Okay, never
mind. Yeah. No. It was on some support library function that I needed to do something that is common to multiple activities. Anyway, there was some new function in support library that I didn't know, and I was like, oh, that's easier. But yeah, back to the deep link stuff. That was like the thing that I was. Well, okay. So there are two things. One, they're like, well,
okay,
now
so
we
you
want
just
to.
That was what the deep link stuff is.
So deep link, the nice thing is the pattern is actually much more powerful.
Okay.
So now the path is, it looks kind of like retrofit path where you have like little curly braids and then you have a parameter.
Oh, nice.
And then they extract it out rather than like stars. And then you have to come in and like, I'm going to parse this and like break it down by slashes. And I'll take the third thing and that would be my username.
Mm-hmm.
So just for that was enough for me to look deeper.
Okay.
But the flip side of that is, right now, the way they present it, they are recommending single activity, multiple fragments.
Yeah.
That is very different
from most, I know.
The previous incarnations of guidelines. So I'm not quite sure
how that would like sort of like translate. I mean, because I know, like, I've talked to like a bunch of people, right? And when you ask them like what's the recommended way, like these are very seasoned developers, and almost everyone has like polar opposite opinions, right? Some say like, oh, one activity like for the whole app, one activity per flow, one activity per screen. And how all this would bridge together is going to be very
So their recommendation is one activity per entry point. So you have deep link.
Interesting.
That will be one entry point. I think that if you have a notification, that will be one entry point. And then, of course, the home screen icon. Mm-hmm. And then within that entry point, that then you use the nav editor to manage all the screen transition, which sounds reasonable. I just need to go back to my app and see like how does it jam with my existing way of organizing the app.
That's the other thing, right? A lot of these things make sense when you're developing a new app.
Right.
But with existing apps, a lot of this is a pretty huge change, right? So I'm curious to see how, like, in how often, like, do we actually start greenfield apps, right? Like, at this point, not too often. So it will be interesting to see, like, what the recommendation, like, the opinion.
I actually went to the Android tent. They have Android tent at IO, and I talked to Ian Lake, who's one of the developers, and he said we have a migration guide that walk you through how you take an existing app and how do you. To me, it's the opposite of divide and conquer. It's merge and conquer. Because even though I have multiple activity, I want to kind of bring them together so that the one that's one entry point are all in one place.
Interesting.
So they actually, I'm to be honest, quite impressed now by the way like Google don't just like push code out, but they also have sample code, collabs, migration guide, and also like a top level, the philosophy of why are we doing this? How should you think about it? So,
and to Google's credit, like recently they've been excellent about reaching out to like the developer community beforehand, before actually like, you know, making these grand releases, which I think is like really going towards like their benefit, right? Because a lot of this is what we have asked for, and like they're specifically addressing those needs. So I think that's like a huge benefit that they have going.
Yeah, so I was very happy that this IO actually, some of the times instead of going to sessions, I will actually just go in to ask questions because I have all these questions about, but what about my app? This sounds great for new apps. And they have answers for that already. Right, right. So it's great.
The other thing I want to quickly touch on, because I think it was like during all the Android sessions, was like slices and actions, right?
Yeah.
I know that was like, I mean, there's like a lot of interesting stuff happening there. So yeah, why don't you like tell us what you think about it?
Oh, we're really excited. And I think that this is a kind of a problem that we've been trying to handle at work about how do you represent like the same data consistently throughout an app. Right. And we've actually internally been working on this like at Trello. Mm-hmm. And then when we saw that, like being able to integrate with other parts of the system, like in Google search and stuff like that, they're just like, oh my gosh, yes, it's so cool. And I think it's just about, you know, it's kind of just everything else, like the deep linking and like the, was it app linking or the app search? Just like having your content be easily discoverable on the device by a user. Right. It is cool. That and app actions as well, where
app
it kind
actions
of
is slightly
flows,
yeah.
a little bit different. But like I'm really excited for slices to be
Is app action the thing that they learn by AI to figure out what
I think it's something that we build.
Oh, we build.
I remember Tor said this in a session, right? And that really stuck to me. He said it was visual intense. So it's like almost the intense that we're used to in Android, but it's like visual, right? So So I think, or maybe there's AI. But at least that's
everything is AI now, so I'm confused.
I know, exactly. So maybe the next step is like they'll start building these things. So app actions are the things that, like, for example, if you like swipe like or like go to like the home window, like they have like these snippets of like actions that you can do. Like it's almost like launching that launches the intent. So it's like mini actions. But slices is almost like widgets that you can like
place.
Yeah,
someone was like, remote view looking kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And I think they even called it out in like the slices session. If I remember, it's like, oh, it's similar to remote view, but it's actually more thoughtful sort of way of bringing it. Then again, like this is very new. I haven't seen the docs, so maybe there's like nuances to the differences.
We haven't looked into it yet, but we're definitely, I think we will for sure.
Mm-hmm. In Pocket Cast, do you think like there's interesting opportunities there for...
Yeah, I think so. It seemed like Google I/O mentioning the Google Assistant a lot, like it was everywhere.
That is true, yeah.
Which I think is linked to Actions, right? Is that the similar thing, or is that completely different?
Look at me.
Yeah.
Actually, the HomePod has...
I think slices as well, it looks like a widget, doesn't it? I can see how we could like add one to our app.
Right,
so if you wanted to play a podcast.
I think part of the reason why they wanted that was because on Google Home, when there's no UI, then you just interact with voice. When you're on the phone, you say something and there's no visual feedback, and it's just kind of strange. Like people are not used to that. So I think slices is a way so that even if you are activating the action with a voice, you can visually see what's happening.
Yeah. So they do that now in Android Auto as well, for those that went to that session. So it used to be just say, hey, I want to play this thing, and it would start playing this thing. And if I got it wrong, like, tough luck, like, it's playing that thing. Right. Now they have search results. So you say something, it'll actually, like, give you the first one, but then it'll give you all the other things that are similar or match. And I think that's really cool. Like, you're driving, you don't want to do too much, but you're like, no, actually, I meant this third one down. So you just tap it, right?
Yeah, so it's a good way for the app to be able to surface it so that people recognize it because the look and feel is the same as what you get inside the app. That's how I understand the relationship between slices and actions.
Right. I mean, initially, I thought, like, the slices thing was like, oh, these are just, like, reusable views, right? But then I think they also say there are, like, they don't necessarily allow you to do, like, anything in it. There is, like, a standard set, and I think they're trying to templatize it.
I don't know if... For me, that looks really familiar, because it's kind of like micro format on the web. This is kind of like a long time ago, people try to, like, oh, if you tag these web pages with this. So, for example, if you search for, like, a restaurant and it's a Yelp result, then it will actually show you the little stars.
Yes.
So that's how I look at those slices. It's richer search result that comes from apps.
Oh, interesting.
So that is like a formatted data so that Google can put it into a nicer...
sort of like UI.
Visual. A good result. Right.
I mean, I did add this, and we touched on this sort of like previously, but like Android Studio and tools, right? Like Android Studio is usually the thing that's just easy to like make developers happy, especially us. Like anything you add in Android Studio, and we're like, yeah!
Cheer!
Yeah. What did you think about like the announcements in Android Studio?
They're starting to do more of the profiling, which is interesting. Kind of their... It seems like every year they're trying to add more and more features. Hopefully that continues to improve, because that's something I need to do more in the app of, is profiling the app. And sometimes it can be quite complicated. Even on stage when I'm seeing a flame graph, it's still
You don't just take the spaces like analyze those.
That's
and
what the GPU was doing for those 30 microseconds.
You just analyze what the GPU is doing and then, fix it.
I got to say, like, I hate to keep bringing this up, but I work on the Android app, right? So I come across and I'm like, Phil, I want to do this kind of profiling, which you can do on iOS. Like, you can get really detailed battery profiling and this amazing stuff you can run on your code. So it tells you exactly, this particular method is taking a long time to run. It highlights a line of code. It puts a little red line. It's like, this took 60 times longer than like all the other stuff here. And you can drill right down into it. And it's really nice.
I think this
really
is
visual.
What Tor demoed, actually. Yeah.
I could almost have sworn, because I was like, there's a lot of like bar graphs there. But then like he clicked on something. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, and this points to the method where it actually happens.
And I like that kind of tooling is in there. I think they could still work on the user interface maybe just a little bit more. But that it's there is awesome. Because previously it was like, you had to put in either like some kind of Hugo or something to measure things. And then is your measuring affecting the thing that you're measuring? It's like,
I guess it's also I guess like the other thing also we're looking specifically with profiling is being able to step back and see it, like, not necessarily as deep a level as you would, but just like, just tell me the most problematic areas. Yeah. Like, you don't actually have to tell me what the problem is. Just tell me, like, this is where like something's going on quickly, and I can like dive in.
Like for example, you scroll a list, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, it's dropping frames. I don't need to know why the GPU is dropping frames. I just want to know what code's being executed on. What's taking too long to run? Like,
I think that's right. Anything else in Android Studio?
Well, this is not strictly Android Studio, but I'm very excited that finally on Chromebooks, you can run Linux app and Android Studio.
Yeah.
So that is exciting.
So do you use a Chromebook?
No, I've completely ignored the Chromebook, because if I can't program on it, what's the point? so I just didn't bother even looking. So now I'm like, now we're talking.
I love how Tor said, like, the only thing, though, you can't run is ADB. So you just basically have to build it. That's pretty funny.
There's no emulator, but...
Well, I mean...
But you can
it's
run
coming,
Chrome
though.
You can run your Android apps on Chrome OS or something.
Yeah, so you can deploy directly to the device itself.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that, I mean, not that I'm developing Android app specifically for Chrome OS, but at least the door has opened. There are possibilities now. So I'll be following a bit closer on the Chrome OS.
I mean, it's also because like the Chromebook stuffs are like pretty rampant, especially like in the education sector right? So it's nice to see that they're like adding that as a mechanism. So all right. So we are getting towards the end. There were like some miscellaneous things that I wanted just you folks to like give your thoughts on, right? So we are targeting API 26 and higher for new apps and updates, right? That was an announcement. Do you think there's like anything big there, or is it just like, meh?
Well, I mean, it's like, isn't it you have to target the latest now,
if you want
right? I mean, that's a big, that's kind of a big switch. Although, I mean,
for
did
me,
did they do that before? I don't know. Was the target 19 or? No, it can't be 19. Yeah, no way. Yeah.
No, there was something about Marshmallow that I forgot. Like when the permission stuff come out, there was something, but I don't remember
exactly
what
it was. If you target something, then you need to make sure that the permission
is something on the... I think that was the biggest, like, oh, now we want you to, like, move on, please, right. Move on.
Yeah.
I think Oreo, the only big thing that it could be potentially complicated is the background stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot more restrictions.
Right. And this is a little tangential, not necessarily related, but I think, like, because Google has been making the push there for, like, making sure that we are able to, like, easily standardize stuff, it was amazing when they announced that Android P is, like, available, and courtesy Treble, it's available in, like, all these phones, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is, I think that's a huge effort on their part. Like, everyone complained that this is a problem, and they said, oh, we've done, like, we started Project Treble that would help with this, and it's nice to finally reap the benefits from that, right?
Yeah.
So even with the targeting thing, I think it's good eventually, because that just shifts the industry forward, right? Which is, this is, like, the biggest... some would say it's very fragmented.
I think I have to go now.
Android Things hit 1.0. Did that like interest anyone, or was like, nah.
I'm really keen to build my hardware device now that it's 1.0.
Okay, no. So just confidence that...
No, I've actually been, in all seriousness, I've been following the development of Android Things for a while. I know some of the developers that work on it, and it's actually really exciting to hit 1.0, because what they're now saying is, if you make some kind of hardware device, you've been able to use it in the past, but now we're actually certifying it. Like, it's ready, it's like production ready.
Right.
And if you think about what happened in the phone space, right, is Apple kind of got their first, Google got their second, but Google ended up dominating because the open operating system, install it on whatever device you want. There's some restrictions, but you know, do we like
with the whole like Raspberry Pi thing,
exactly,
right? Like, that was a pretty smart move,
right? And so I think if the same thing happens with Android Things, if we can have a standard operating system that runs on Things, I guess.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like, it's actually helpful from a developer point of view, because it means you can work on a lot of this stuff. So maybe your next job could be working on some cool little hardware device, and it's a familiar environment. It's the same environment that some other device runs on. That's kind of interesting.
Cool. I guess at this point, we should just go into like closing thoughts. So, like, who would like to start? Like, you know, just highlights. What do you think? Like, you know, before you head out, what are you excited by? And like, you know, before we wind,
I was waiting for you to talk about Flutter. So that would be my closing thought.
Okay, no. So tell me, I literally had it written down. So, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I should open that can of worms.
Yeah, so it'll be short.
Okay.
I was expecting more sessions, but there wasn't.
Me too. I thought it would be like a huge push, because this is like something amazing that they're able to pull off. But it didn't seem like it was hard.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened there. But I did go to one session, because I was expecting more and then a few. So I went to one about doing reactive style.
Right.
Which is, I think the Dart language has built-in streams and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm excited to try it out. I was expecting Google I/O to get me more excited, and it wasn't. So that was a little bit interesting to me.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, this is perfect. That's a perfect like sort of...
So that's my closing thought. I said, what about Flutter?
We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah.
I thought they'd more mention it more, like in the developer keynote, I thought it would be a big thing. But it seemed to be...
Yeah, I mean, I thought at least in the developer keynote, it would have like a tag, like a huge like headline, right? But no, apparently not.
It's not even mentioned.
I could see it being more powerful for like if you're doing client apps, so you're doing, you're turning over a lot of apps, and then you want to do iOS, you want to do Android as well at the same time. And it's not so... It doesn't matter so much about custom UI. Because I think when you're doing like premium apps, you have to try and make sure it looks native and it's got the animations, it does everything. But maybe Flutter's a bit more high level than that, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
And it's good that with that team, they've obviously got access to the material people. So if anything changes in the future, they're going to get access before everyone else does.
Right.
So in theory, they can keep you up to date.
That's true. So.
Or it'll get canned.
It is a slightly strange developer story, though, isn't it? It's like you can develop, here's Android, here's like this amazing Kotlin thing that we introduced last year. Like, here's how you develop all this stuff, here's all the components. And by the way, we also have this other thing.
I don't think they've got the story quite straight.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure where should I be
maybe
standing on the side?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe another year.
That was the fear, but like, I just feel it's really, like, it has the potential to maybe be something.
But is it?
Like,
okay, so let's say you're doing development for just Android, no other platform. Like, do you use Flutter? It doesn't seem to be a solid recommendation from Google. Like, is it just for cross-platform? Or is it also just if you're only targeting one platform?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're absolutely right. You don't know with that, the story there, right? Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens over the year. So next, right. I know what they end up like. How far it's come.
Or if it even exists, like when you sit around this table.
We've got other things. I mean, Kotlin's trying to do Kotlin native as well. So, we have all kinds of like players in the field. It's kind of like,
Closing thoughts. Phil?
I guess with there's so much new tech with this Jetpack coming out, like the work manager is something that really excites me. I've just finished implementing Job Scheduler, which is perfect timing to now.
Exactly what he wanted to hear.
But the issues I had with it seems to have solved, which is good. So
the back support.
That's still an alpha, so it's still not ready to go. But it's really good that they're putting more effort into that.
Right.
Things like Room, they're all sticking around, which is good. So in theory, it would mean that we could have some architecture in our app now.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to last, I think.
Okay, perfect. Russell?
Yeah, my last closing thought is I'm a huge fan of Wear OS. I know it hasn't gone very far, but I was expecting more like Wear OS stuff. And we talked to a few people from the Wear OS team, and it's like, stuff's coming.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, part of me like really wanted to hear more about Wear OS, and there wasn't really much stuff there.
When?
Yeah, I think definitely like... this year was like a nice chill year, but like everything was really solid. It still felt like everything was like a refinement, right? So material theming. I'm actually really excited for Jetpack, right? Like not like in the last few months, it's just been the last few months that I've gotten into architecture components. And I really like them a lot. Like I think that they're really well done. They generally just work. And I think building on top of that and keeping it strong and then also kind of feeding that in, like I think they just went with it. Like, hey, like we had this one way before. Here's our opinion now. Go ahead and run with it. And, like, I like that. I like that a lot. It wasn't, like, to be honest, I didn't have my mind blown by anything, but I was very happy with a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, my sentiments are also very similar, right? It was, everything was maybe a little low-key than before, but I think, like, sometimes we need that, right? Just, like, you know, get the thing going. I guess for me, the thing that was most interesting, like, how much they're pushing, like, ML and AI. And I think, like, it's finally, people are actually... coming to terms with like the terminology, right? Like people actually like are beginning to understand what ML is capable, like machine learning is capable of, and what AI, artificial intelligence, is. And like clearly they're like leading the front on in this space. So I did like attend some of the sessions. Like some of it just went over my head, and some of it I was just like too tired. But like there's like a lot of interesting stuff they're building, so it'll be interesting to see. Like even for Android, like in Android developers, right? Like I think it's something that people should like keep in.
Yeah, I mean the examples they gave in P was kind of interesting too, right? So for example, brightness adjustment, they have auto, but then now they can learn how you personally change the brightness depending on the inputs. And then they can do it for you, really automatically adjust it to your taste. So I am thinking that perhaps that will inspire other apps on thinking more about how they can use AI.
The idea is to
cater the experience on the app.
I thought I saw a really great tweet this morning. And so this is like third. This is like basically like playing telephone or third person. But I think someone said that during the session, they said, we don't want you to think of ML or AI is a special snowflake. It is just another tool for you to build good apps. And I think that kind of feeds into the low-key thing. Like, look, here, it's AI, sure, it's machine learning, but it's just a tool. Like, here are some more practical...
So it's kind of like, here's location services. Yeah, exactly. Here's the sensor for...
And I think I think it's, like, perfect because it is just, like, an additional tool that you can, like, bring in to, like, enhance your app more, right? Yeah. So, like, it's you're absolutely right. It's a perfect way to think about it.
To find that tweet. Sorry, whoever actually said that. Credit to you, whoever that was. I don't remember off the top of my
head. Don't think Skynet. Just think an additional tool.
I feel like it's
tool.
Still needs a few years, though, right? It's not as easy to use as location services. Like, you really have to, like, build learning models.
Machine learning models.
I'm excited. For a few years' time, when you're, like, you can shortcut a lot of that process, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Android Dialogues team, Pocket Cast team, thank you so much for talking to our listeners. I'm super excited to get this out. And maybe next time we'll meet again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening. And
thank you for watching. Bye.
Want to automatically build, test, and release your Android apps? Try App Center. Connect your repo and within minutes, build in the cloud, test on thousands of real Android devices, distribute to beta testers, and monitor real-world usage with crash and analytics data. Spend less time managing your app lifecycle and more time coding. Visit appcenter.ms and get started for free.
that's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.
All right, sorry, Kaushik. Cool. I forgot to start this until 14 minutes in.
Well,
so we have that as the master.
Phil is like, ooh.
Just cut it out.
Let's go again.
This is not my recorder. No, I didn't realize. I didn't press the back red button.